Hello again, everyone, and I want to thank you for inviting us into your homes this morning. And I really do perceive it that way. It is an honor and a privilege that you are allowing for us to share with you this morning in this manner. Before we begin today, I'd like to pray with you. Father God, thank you. Thank you for your love and mercy and grace. And thank you for you revealing yourself to us through creation itself, through the prophets of old, through your holy word, through Jesus. We thank you, Father, that you continue to do that, to speak to us and to give us even deeper insight into your nature and to your will and desires for us through your word. So, Father, be with us as we open it today. Open our hearts and minds to receive it. And once again, Lord, just help us to not only discern it, to understand it, but, Father, to recognize how to apply it so that we might be a people of honor, a people who bring you glory, and people who are a blessing to others. For we know that is your will, and it's what Jesus demonstrated to us. Is how we are most and best responsive to your truth. Thank you again. In Jesus' name, amen. In putting services together these days, I have been blessed with the opportunity to preview the songs. And I don't mean just knowing what the songs are going to be in the program, but right now, I'm usually the one downloading them from the internet. I'm the one inserting them into our presentation and even uploading them again to the internet for you. Matter of fact, depending upon the song and the options that we have available to us to share them online, I may need to listen to some of the songs several times. For now, just let me say that though it's not unusual for the Holy Spirit to weave my thoughts and the messages contained in the songs together in some unique and often amazing ways, that seemed particularly apparent to me this week. So now I want to turn your attention to the words of Isaiah. So if you have your Bibles, open them there, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 55. If you don't have access to a copy of the Word readily available to you, I just say, please listen carefully. I want you to really drink in, take in what is said here. Verse 1, this is Isaiah writing. He says, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what's not bread? And your labor on what does not satisfy?" He says, listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come. Come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I've made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. For he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, and he will freely pardon." So again, Isaiah's words, he's writing down the words that the Lord is giving him. He didn't speak of his own accord. This is what the Lord is saying to us through him. Now, the service opened today with a song, "Come, People of the Risen King." And then the chorus of "Death Was Arrested" urged us to come join the song of all the redeemed. Then "Behold the Lamb" reminded us of the promise of God for all who come in faith to gather around the table of the King. And our chosen song of the month, Hope Has a Name, reminds us of the confidence we can have because the light has come to us. Speaking of Jesus. Now here we see Isaiah saying five times in three verses, come. Come. Now, sure, we could have arranged all this. I could have conferred with our praise team and said, well, you know what? Listen, I want you to choose songs all that have this idea of inviting us to come. Take my word for it, though. I didn't do that. I did not do that. There are times when I do specifically ask for a song that will fit in with a lesson. We'll just correlate with it, but didn't do that for today. There are times when they have a song that they ask me to frame some thoughts around, and I do that, but I didn't do that today. We didn't put our heads together and come up with this theme of come. Having said that, see, as I reviewed what I'd already began to prepare, I certainly looked even more intently for the Spirit's promptings. So let's take a closer look at this moving invitation to come to this unusual feast. See, this is an invitation to come to a catered meal that costs more per plate than any of us could afford. Ever been invited to come to a benefit dinner, you know, where it could be $100 a plate? And you might say, well, you know, I'd love to come. I'd love to support that. I'd love to give towards that cause, but I can't afford that. Matter of fact, I'll just send some money, okay? I'll make a donation, but I can't. That's out of my league. Well, if that's ever been you, that's kind of what this situation seems like. It's saying, you know, come, but you can't afford what's being provided. But he says it's free. It's free for all who are thirsty and who are hungry. Now, not just free for anybody to just cast aside waste, but if you're hungry, if you're thirsty, then come. And what's provided is free to you. What kind of sounds strange in the text we read is that Isaiah says that we who do come are to buy it. Pardon me? He says, yeah, come and buy this, but without money. Think on that a minute. What? With what do I pay for this bread and drink that's being offered if not with money? Well, if you haven't figured it out just yet, he's not talking about physical food and drink at all, is he? Jesus would later say in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they'll be filled. Not that they will fill themselves, but they'll be filled. If they hunger and thirst, and later on he would say in the same sermon, seek first the kingdom of God, and what you hunger and thirst for, what you need, will be provided. See, this is an invitation in Isaiah to a spiritual feast at the table of the Lord. Those who hunger and thirst are being offered a bounty of blessing, bought and paid for already by the most gracious of hosts. Yet he says those who come are to pay something for it. What might that be? Especially when we have so little to offer, if we have anything at all. And what we might have, if we have anything at all, well, it's foreign currency. By that I mean you can't buy that which is spiritual with that which is material. You can't do it. So no matter how much money or power or popularity we might have or think we might have, it's of no value in God's economy. All our accomplishments, our achievements, our awards, our accolades are worthless when it comes to bartering for a place in the house of our Lord at his table. But yet he says, come. Truth is, all we can bring to the table, all that any of us truly can bring to the table, is a heart of humility, repentance, and trust. Here's the good news, though. Are you ready? It's enough. It's enough. That's exactly what he's asking for. A heart of humility, of repentance, and trust. That's enough. Isaiah said in the text, if we seek the Lord and turn to him, we will find what? We're not bread and milk and wine. That's the images he presents. But what we will find is mercy, he says, and pardon. Mercy and pardon in abundance. In abundance. Any of you hungry for that? Any of you thirst for that? You recognize you've messed up? You have done so many things in your life that you're embarrassed about or ashamed about or you regret, and you've hurt people, you've wronged people, you know you've offended God. And what do you need? What do you hunger for? Mercy. Mercy. Do you want to be held accountable for those things, or do you want pardoned? Isaiah says, come. Come and you'll find plenty of mercy and pardon. You'll find a bounty of that. Wow. But he also says, if you hunger and thirst for it, come now while he may still be found. That's what it said in our text. In other words, the invitation will not be open forever. Now, it's not that there's limited seating. You've maybe had situations like that. You better get your ticket quick. Better get it. They're going fast. You know, there's only so many people that we can accommodate. No, that's not the problem. But it is a limited time offer. Eventually, the time will come when it could be too late to accept the invitation to come. Our life could be over before we expect it to be. Or Jesus could come to gather us to that feast, even while we yet live. So I would suggest, if you haven't already done it, RSVP ASAP. I'll say that again. RSVP ASAP. Reserve your place as soon as possible. Don't hesitate. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Don't procrastinate. RSVP ASAP. Now, perhaps you're thinking, I think it's too late. I think it's already too late because I've declined so many earlier invitations. This isn't the first time I heard this invitation to come. And I didn't listen. See, the invitation was listen to me, come. And I ignored it. Maybe you went to church as a kid, but never responded to an altar call. Maybe your parents or grandparents implored you to come, but you were more interested in, well, physical pleasure than the joy of a relationship with God. Matter of fact, it wasn't something you necessarily gave much thought to at all. Or maybe you didn't even know the Lord was inviting you to come until lately, maybe even now. Or maybe you've heard it lately, in the last few weeks, months, years, and you've been thinking about it. You've been considering it. You've been mulling it over in your mind. You've been looking at that invitation. You've been thinking about, boy, I really should. Wow, it really sounds good. But no, not yet. Not now. There's some things I need to do first. Some things I want to do first. Some things I got to get in order first. So you've wrestled with that decision. And you think, well, I've wrestled with it too long. And certainly it's too late. Certainly this invitation has been revoked. Certainly he doesn't want me to come, at least not anymore. If that's the case with you, would you please listen to what the Lord himself says about that? Picking up in verse 8 of our text, this is what the Lord says. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. He says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper. Instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. What are you saying, Lord? Whatever you think about it, think again. Because what matters is not what you think or what I think. It's what the Lord thinks. That's what he's saying. And what does he think? He thinks you're worthy. He thinks you're loved. He thinks that you should come when he calls. Still. Still. So no matter what we think about it, this is the truth. The Lord is more kind and forgiving and patient than any of us have any right to expect him to be. He has a beautiful plan here. He presents it as being a time of great bounty once again, a time of prosperity, a time when everything is flourishing. And he even says so much so that creation itself rejoices. The trees clap. Even creation rejoices over how blessed you are because of his graciousness and his goodness. See, it's his reputation here. See, this way for the Lord's renown, his reputation, it's all to his glory, for his honor, that he does this, that he continues to extend this invitation to us still. It's a beautiful plan, beautiful purpose for you and for me. And he's inviting us to embrace it, to embrace it, to come. That's all we have to do is come as he calls us. How, pray tell, do we do that? I mean, if we were all together in one place today, I would probably say, well, come forward. Come up, you know, and let us pray with you and for you and confess Jesus as your Savior and Lord. And do that. I would give you some steps to take. If you would take that step and come. But how do we do that now with you there and me here? I'm not one really who encourages folks to pray what's commonly called the sinner's prayer. Because I don't find any example here in Scripture of anyone ever praying those exact words or leading anyone else to do so. I just don't find it. It's not there. The call is always one gets, once again, to publicly confess and also to unite with Christ in baptism. That's the call, to come and do those things. But hear me. I'm reminded of a sinner's prayer in the scripture, which Jesus himself said was acceptable when approaching God. You can actually find it in a parable in Luke 18, verse 9 through 14. Jesus shared this parable of a tax collector and a Pharisee who went to the temple to pray. Now, the Pharisee, Jesus tells, approached God with this resume, I'll call it, of how good and deserving he was compared to other people. He talked about how much he prayed and fasted and tithed and all the good things that he did and well, his resume. The other guy, the tax collector, it says he just bowed his head and said, God, have mercy on me, for I'm a sinner. There's a sinner's prayer for you. Jesus said that this man went home justified before God. Jesus said that. He went home justified before God. So I suggest this morning, that's the place to start if you have not accepted the Lord's invitation to come prior to this. Start with a humble prayer of admission that you want to come. You want to accept the Lord's invitation, but you have nothing to offer but admission that you can't afford a place at the table. And then let Jesus pick up the tab. Let Jesus pronounce you justified by virtue of his blood. Let him give you the next steps, the instruction about what to do to continue. See, it's not just a one-time thing that we come to him for this grace, this mercy, this pardon. No, it's something we need to do continually, to continue to come to this table as we hunger and thirst for this mercy and pardon that he so freely offers. Jesus bought and paid for it, so let Jesus pick up the tab. By virtue of his blood, his sacrifice, we have this already bought and paid for. Praise God for that. Amen. In John 6, verse 35, we read that Jesus said this, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. And he who believes me will never be thirsty. He's the bread of life. Anyone who comes to me will never go hungry. And he who believes me will never go thirsty. So this coming to him, as the idea of believing in God's promise that if we come to him, we will have prepared for us and provided for us what we need. So I urge you to believe in him and to come to his banquet. If you do, I assure you, you will not be disappointed. You will not be disappointed. I want you to give that some real serious consideration. As we sing, and I'm going to encourage you to sing, yes, what we call an invitation song at Calvary Christian. When Desiree Johnson first planned the music for today, she chose a song, Jesus, I Come, by Elevation Worship. I looked at that. I couldn't hardly believe it. You chose Jesus, I Come, not knowing what I was going to be talking about, not knowing my text today. You chose Jesus, I Come. You chose all these other songs. Now you chose that song. But as I read further in her instructions about to the praise team about the song she chose, she said she had second thoughts about it, and she was going to choose another song instead. And I thought, oh. And without even reading another line, I thought, well, maybe if I call her, you know, I say, well, let's go with the first thought. Let's go with that first idea. But wait for it. Guess what song she wanted to substitute? Come As You Are by David Crowder. I get the distinct impression that the Lord's extending an invitation today. Don't you? Jesus is the one who said in Matthew 11, verse 28 and following, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest for your soul." Come to me. So he says, come to me. Are you weary, worn out, weighted down, burdened with anxieties and pressures, and perhaps the greatest of all, your own sin, the things you did you regret having done, and the things you didn't do that you regret now you didn't do, the cans you've kicked down the road and thought, well, I'll get to those later, but you never have. And listen to me. Come. Bring that weariness. Bring those burdens. And Jesus says, I will give you rest for your soul. So if that's you, if you're weary today, if you're heavy laden, if you're in need of mercy and pardon, why not come? Why not come? Let's pray one more time before we sing. Father God, thank you for your invitation. Thank you for your patience with us. Because again, I know for myself, God, I was invited several times. There were messengers who handed that invitation to me or told me about this invitation, and I wasn't very quick to say, I come. I'll come. I'm coming. But thank you, God, that your time stamp on that invitation was one that I couldn't even read, and I don't know when that might be, when Jesus may come or I may go, but I am so thankful that the invitation remains open yet today, so that others may heed your call and come. Thank you. Thank you for Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. God bless you.